flying saucers, things in the sky that we don't recognize, abductions. Is any of it real? Well, my executive producer has this to say.
Open loops.
Tune out your rational mind and turn on your unconscious mind. Is now tuned in to its favorite late night talk show for the shamelessly fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Hello, everybody. Greg Bornstein here, consciousness disruptor, cultural hypnotist, curator of experience, chief looper, and your host of Way Too Weird, numerous titles. Yes, weird is the name of the game, though, in this show, because what is an open loop exactly? We'll get to that in a second. You see, my goal is to challenge your existing belief systems by sharing radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and allow you to step into the highest version of yourself. We do that by talking about the themes, the topics, the tropes, the fields that take us away from it all. The secretive, the mysterious, the mystical, the paranormal, the supernatural, the esoteric, the metaphysical, the philosophical, the psychoanalytical, the conspiratorial, and of course, who and what we really are. Now, this episode in particular really makes you question who we are. I did not understand the ET thing for so long. I really didn't. I didn't understand the alien thing. I didn't know what was so interesting about it. Little green men. Sure, we've seen things. I suppose what was interesting was the conspiracy angle, the idea that the government would be hiding these things. It wasn't until I really started delving into the work of Stephen Greer that I realized there's a spiritual component here. Benevolent beings. That doesn't mean all of them are, if they exist. But there is something about connecting with your soul, connecting with a higher level of awareness, opening up your consciousness, being open in general to a different plane of awareness, similar to what they discuss in the Carlos Castaneda books. This separate reality, there is a way of going through life that is very linear, very, shall we say, as the kids say these days, basic. And then there's expansive living. Living that's a little less exact, a little more fluid, a little more experimental. I know, it sounds like I'm describing a musical theater camp right now, but I'm not. I'm really talking about a way of being in the world that requires you to embrace a bigger, more abstract picture of what reality is. I didn't realize these themes that I naturally grabbed onto were really the bulk of my guest's work today. I met this gentleman as he was one of the co-hosts of the Total Disclosure Conference, put together by Watchers Talk and Full Spectrum Universe, my friends Omar Fazy, Rob Yox. Probably mention them every other episode because I'm doing one of their summits, but This gentleman who had been broadcasting for over 25 years, New York City, on a talk show similar to this, New Realities, he just was doing it a lot longer and has been and still does it on YouTube than I have. He's been exploring these themes that I'm talking about, these alternative trance states, if you will, that I so love to explore with all of you and my guests, and the various phenomena that go with it, specifically with a strong focus Alan Steinfeld has had on the UFO alien ET question. His book, Making Contact, so good. It's pretty rare that I'm able to read one of the guests' books before an interview, but I had to for this one. I had to do the whole thing because I was just so compelled by the topic in this series of 12 essays from experiencers, channelers, extraterrestrial contactees, abductees, people with connection to government intelligence, all sorts of different angles, different ages, different experts in the extraterrestrial field, sharing their knowledge, sometimes firsthand, sometimes secondhand, a full range of great people talking about a subject that I've only recently realized is much more interesting than I thought. Why? Because consciousness is directly related to it. I love this interview. Alan Steinfeld nails it in this interview like he nailed it in that conference. He is truly a treasure in the fringe broadcasting space. Yep, I said it. Now, if you enjoy Open Loops, please make sure to follow this on Apple Podcasts. As well as you like the show, make sure to rate it and leave a review, even a few words. Definitely help this kind of content get out there. We want to blow people's minds. And I'll tell you something, if you've ever had doubts about the ET question before, well, guess what? This episode, Alan's work, Alan's book, like a Wyoming cow at 3 a.m. on a summer Sunday, you're about to get tipped over the edge. To be honest with you, I think cattle mutilation is less weird than people cow tipping. Can someone do a expose on that? What is that phenomenon? Anyways, here is the leader and taking you into new realities, Alan Steinfeld. Today on Open Loops, Alan Steinfeld, a veteran of the broadcasting space in all things, all things, let's just say, I always love saying it fringe on my show, but I'd say open-minded, alternative conversation. The very popular show over 25 years, New Realities, that was on cable access television in New York.
Still is,
right?
Cable, yeah.
Oh my gosh, and you've got this super popular YouTube channel, and now the thing that I'm most excited about, I'm telling everybody who's interested in the UFO thing, read this book. Read it. Making Contact, Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. So honored, Alan. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. You know, this book is a primer for people, you know, hearing, oh, the government's saying something's going on. Oh, a friend of mine saw something in the sky. What's happening here? What is the nature of reality? So I've been to all the conferences the last 25 years about this because I had my own sighting. I had my own internal dream type experience. I wanted to find out what was going on. And I pursued that question, what's going on? So I met the experts And I have to say, nobody knows what's going on.
Interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Everyone has a piece. So what I've done is put together the pieces so other people can make the picture. It's like a mosaic. You have a little fragment here, a little fragment. You stand back and maybe you'll get an image of what might be happening. But it's a moving story. It's an evolving framework. It's an awakening to something new. So yeah, that's.
Yeah. I do wonder about where, because what I found interesting, and especially specifically about your account, is that it was very recent when you had that regression, right?
It was.
Yeah. I mean, for somebody that is doing this for so many years, talking to all these people, to have a later stage regression to go back and figure out what your contact experience is, feels like if you were to start today and do the next 25 years of the show, it would be very different conversations. Do you agree?
Yeah, you know, that is a great point. And I have to tell you why that is so good to look at from inside my perspective. I had this encounter in 1987. I knew something weird has happened because I woke up with a mark on the back of my leg. My girlfriend I was with at the time, so yeah, maybe it was an abduction. I said, okay, she was regressed like a month after, 1987. I instead took the other route and wanted to find out everything that could have happened. I met Bud Hopkins, who's the godfather of alien abduction. I met John Mack. I met Whitley Strieber, Linda Moulton Howe. Some of these people are in my book. These are the Michael Jordans of our league. They are at it. They are the all-time scorers. Yeah, they have a good sense. But I say I was afraid to find out what had happened to me? I was weary. Because why do people block experiences out of their conscious mind? Because something's traumatic about it. So I was trying to go around that and saying, well, maybe I could find out myself. But I still had this gap. What happened to me sometime in July 1987, sleeping in the back of my van with my girlfriend? What happened that left something on my back of my knee, actually, that I could not remember? And it wasn't until I met James Pendison. Do you know who he is? He was part of the Rendlesham Forest event.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
1980, there was a UFO that landed at the RAF Bentwaters, which was a Air Force base shared with UK and the US. So there was a ship that landed there. Pendison and this John Burroughs and lots of American soldiers went out there to look at this object. Pendison touched that object. He got a download, but he blacked out. And I met him at a conference, or it was really a hearing about UFO secrecy and disclosure. He said he had to take a sleeping pill every single night since then because the anxiety and the stress and the trauma he experienced was so intense he could not sleep. That was 1980. I met him in, when was it, 2013 or something. He's taken a sleeping pill to let go of the anxiety he's had since that day.
Oh my gosh.
He said, wow, that's probably more than whatever happened to me in just a few hours. So I don't know. That was somehow like, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to find a hypnotherapist. I'm going to go in and see what exactly happened to me. And it was not as scary or frightening or traumatizing as I thought it would be. What is traumatizing is that suddenly you realize reality is not what you thought it was. That is the trauma. It's like, yeah, you think you're sitting in a chair and your books and your wall and your microphone.
Right.
That's not reality, Greg. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Please tell it. Can you describe what it is?
It is something that is imperceptible by the conscious level of awareness. We're just looking at a flat land. What's really going on is this levels and levels of consciousness that are like dreamlike dreamscapes, but our waking mind makes such a loud noise that we can't distinguish it from these subtle realms of awareness. Yeah, if you do drugs, LSD, ayahuasca, or meditation, actually, you don't need to do drugs. You can just drop into these deeper states. Then you realize there's an infinite levels of reality right in this space. But we've been so brainwashed to ignore that.
Yeah.
So my quest with new realities is to discover, that's the name of my program and platform, is to discover how we can rise to those occasions of meeting these other worlds within our conscious awareness. And UFOs, ETs, whatever they are part of that.
That's what stuck out to me. And that is why we were in this conference, Total Disclosure, put on by Omar Fazy, Watchers Talk, Rob Yox, Full Spectrum Universe. I was an MC, and what you started talking about, once I started getting a picture of the different speakers that you've talked about in this book, and their perspective and your perspective, it was the first time for me that the mosaic came together, that there was a connection between altered states of mind and the UFO thing.
Right.
I never made that connection before in such a clear way.
Thank you for saying that, because if these, you can see a UFO and say that's weird, but there's something that shifts in your consciousness. If you were to see an ET stand right here in front of you, it would distort your reality. It would sort of make you a little dizzy. It would sort of unhinge you. Yes. And everyone else, because they exist on a much more multiple scales of reality. So to be in their presence is distorting to our normal consciousness field. And that's one way of saying it. There's something that they emanate as a field of awareness that is very different than who we are as conscious beings.
Yeah. And it's tricky. I mean, I think this conversation is so important. And what's tricky is that when you get the government side of it, it's very, very conscious mind. It's very, here's what the New York Times wrote about this incident. Look at the video footage. There's not enough. And what if you read that New York Times article while you were in a trance state? What if you, it's to actively invoke alternative states of mind into the conversation, which I feel that this book does so well and that you've been doing, and I'm such an advocate for. That seems a little almost harder to grasp, even though it's the more immediate phenomenon that we could experience on the daily basis. What do you think about that in the public discourse?
I think you're absolutely right, and you're so accurate in tuning into altered states of mind. They exist all around us, but we're not able to grasp it because we've been so culturally conditioned not to see these other levels of reality. We've been brainwashed and dumbed down, really. There's so much more happening in this space that we just ignore. We ignore the nature of reality. There are multiple levels of consciousness happening right here in our midst, and we just block it out as if nothing's going on. But there's so much going. There are beings passing in and out of this level of consciousness that we are just ignoring, but they're right here within our very reality. Does that make sense?
I mean, I think I don't know. The more I read your book, the more I've started questioning my reality a little bit and thinking about incidents that have gone. Well, was this actually was this a dream? Was this an alternative thing? Was this, you know what? Okay, here's an interesting point that I thought you brought up in your book, in your chapter in particular, that was fascinating to me, which was this idea of sci-fi, as I've always looked at it as, well, the excuse is sci-fi. Anytime anybody says there's an alien in the sky, they're just taking what they watch from pop culture and putting that on, they're mapping over this experience. That's why it's not real. It's all fiction. But then your point is, well, actually, then where does sci-fi come from?
Exactly.
And that kind of blew my mind a little bit. I was going, wait a minute, what? This is really taking sci-fi as a serious thing that's part of the human psyche. I'm curious, what are
Look at all those
your...
sci-fi stories that came true. Look at those Dick Tracy watches. This guy used to speak into his watch or get smart, he'd speak into his shoe. Now, whatever was
Yes.
sci-fi is a reality now. Maybe they're just visionaries of the future. Maybe that's what sci-fi is. Maybe they had a glimpse. So, sci-fi might be an advanced knowing of what's possible. It's people who just projected into the infinity of time space. You know, H.G. Wells, you know who H.G. Wells
Oh,
is?
of course,
He wrote
yeah.
the first book about ETs and UFOs visiting the Earth, you know, the War of the Worlds. But he also talked about every student having a little projector at their desk where they can access all the information on the world. He had no idea what he was talking about. He didn't know how that would happen. He just had a vision that that was possible. It's taken us, you know, 70, 80 years to fulfill that vision, but it's like, of course, that's every day for us now. But back then in the 30s, it's like he was a visionary of the possibility. So we all are that. We all are visionaries of possibility if we just allow our mind and imagination to extend into the future and bring back a possibility, a hope, a encouragement for humanity to evolve. This is the threshold, this moment in time that these UFOs, whatever they are, I don't know what they are, but there is something there that promises us to fulfill a greater destiny. I'll just say it that way.
Yeah. Is there any part of you that, I mean, here's what I'm wondering, and this is just always because I'm playing around with different belief systems. Is there a part of you that could tomorrow be like, oh, that is a perfectly reasonable, rational explanation. All of my guests, they did actually have this form of advanced psychosis. Therefore, everything I did was just a very interesting version of what the human mind's possible, and we are living in scientific materialism. Could that ever happen to
Let's break that down a
you?
little bit. I
Okay,
like
I
that.
go. It's a
No, I
very
love
intense
those.
question, but I'm curious.
No, I love it. I love it because it shows me you're thinking. There is a lot, and I wouldn't say a lot. There are people who are delusional and they think they see things. Absolutely. But are they delusional if something's in their reality and they don't see it? Are they blocking it or denying the truth? There may be more psychosis and people denying this reality, saying, no, I refuse to see. I'm just looking at the world through this way. I'm not looking at a wider vision, which is what happens with science. If you read Thomas Kuhn's book, Theories in Scientific Revolution, he says science gets attached to their ideas. They become identified with their belief system. So if something new comes along, they just say it's an anomaly, we'll work it out later. But Kuhn says that revolutions in science depend upon anomalies. So you ask Neil deGrasse Tyson, hey, did you see what the Nimitz pilots saw on their radar? He said, and he said this, oh, that was probably an artifact, some mistaken thing on their radar. They probably didn't see anything really. So he's denying the fact that these pilots actually saw things with their eyes, taking pictures, they not just their radar. So is that psychotic to deny the truth that when evidence is presented, they go, no, that can't be that. I don't believe it's possible. If you don't believe
Right.
it's possible, so scientific materialism does not account for who you and I are in this moment. What is making those neurons in your brain emanate a personality and a beingness and a synergy of awareness that is creating Greg Bornstein? Who is that? That is not just a byproduct of a brain. The brain is the hardware. the personality is the software. But you know what? If you had a computer with hardware and software, you know what would make that run? You know what makes that run?
What?
The operator. The person at the computer. Who's working the software and hardware of your personality brain? Who is that, Greg?
I have no idea.
I would say that's the eternal aspect of who you are that's taken on a
right.
body incarnated right. in this form in order to live in the plane of demonstration for the lessons of physical reality. That's who that is.
Holy moly.
Yeah, so that's my belief. That's only a belief system. Yeah, there are people who have I've had out-of-body experiences. You know, there's people who have had near-death experiences. There's people who, you know, what's his name? Eben Alexander.
Yes.
Right? You know,
you talk about him in the book. Yeah.
Neuroscientists taught neurology, didn't believe in any of that stuff, went into a coma. No brain activity, and yet he had this incredible adventure of the mind that couldn't be possible without brain activity. Comes back and says, guess what? I was wrong. There is consciousness beyond our bodies, beyond our brains. And he even quotes, I think he quotes Edgar Cayce there. Edgar Cayce, who was a sleeping prophet. Do you know who Edgar Cayce was?
Oh my gosh, the legend, yes.
He'd go into a trance and this great high knowledge, which I actually still use Edgar Cayce energetic medicine. It's really powerful. It's a whole brand of alternative medicine that really is effective. Anyway, he says, the question is not how much does life exist beyond the body, this great mind that we are, is how much of that great mind exists in the body. Basically, well, I'll break that down. He's explaining the brain actually filters out the infinitude of consciousness in order to have a kind of individualized personal experience here. But we are really infinite. The brain stops that infinite awareness and puts it into a little box. So we are infinite awareness. So how much does that infinite mind survive the birth of the body, basically? Not the death of the body is what... the kind of joke, kind of humorous joke.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, look, I'm loving this space. I'm living it. Listening to your talk is exactly, I feel like it's where I need to be. And I'm always going, what is it going to take? I mean, it does. I don't think everybody needs to necessarily, like you hinted at, have an ayahuasca trip. I think people could start meditating. But at the same time, imagine if everybody really started exploring these realms and talking like this, how great could this society become? What could happen? I mean, I would love to live in a world that where that could happen.
It starts with you though, Greg.
Right.
I mean, I don't know where you're at really in your belief system, but if you can just open to the possibilities that you are infinite consciousness, right? Can you
oh yeah.
And if you are that, then this experience is just one of infinite ones that you have had and will have. You're infinite, and if we are infinite, you have access to infinite knowledge. And so all your searching, I think, I don't know you that well, and you know, metaphysics, inquisitiveness and magic, it's all been to kind of demonstrate to you that there is a greater reality. You've been looking for proof of this greater reality. Well, I don't know if you'll ever find proof, but you will have experiencers. One day you might be out of your body, or one day you might be visited by some interdimensional being. So don't doubt your mind. You know, Western psychology has made us doubt our experiences. Now, you start to hear a voice, you have an intuition. You doubt it because psychology has said, no, you can't trust your own mind. I'm saying, for the most part, you can. There are people that are delusional, absolutely, but that's a small percentage of those that are really intuitive, really inquisitive, really awakening to a bigger part of their reality. So I say be on the edge or the fringe, but not over the edge, you know?
Right. Yeah, right. How have you been able to navigate that over the course of your career with so many different people, and because I've had people on my show, and I've talked to people that I'm going, okay, something seems a little off here, but I also want to entertain this idea at some level. I mean, what are some of the ways that you found to discern and really make their stories, contextualize them in your explorations?
Well, that is a great question. You're a good interviewer. You actually have a natural talent. You're
I appreciate that.
Because you're thinking, it's like, okay, and I'll tell you my secret. I don't take anyone seriously.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
I have to explain that. I take everyone for what they tell me as their truth.
Yes.
It's their truth. It's not necessarily my truth, but it's their truth. And I'll add to that, I stay away from dogma. If someone's telling me something about their belief system and saying, this is how it is, and, you know, it's some kind of religious, spiritual dogma that doesn't have any substance, I just kind of back away from that. I'm not interested in dogma. I was just hearing this woman on some interview talking about her teacher and their belief system, and these beings created them, and this is how it is. Well, as soon as you say this is how it is, that's a cue that that's not how it is. Because nobody knows how it is. I only have my experience. Experience becomes wisdom, but there's a lot of knowledge out there, but it's not wisdom until you have experience. There's a lot of books all around us. I have probably 5,000 books in my apartment, and they're all great, but they don't mean anything without experience. You know, you need the experience to develop wisdom. Otherwise, it's all dogma. It's all someone else telling you this is how it is. I'm not trying to tell you how it is. I'm just telling you, look out for what for people saying that, and trust your own experience, and trust your own mind. You know, you have a great inquisitive mind. Let that lead you into the unknown, but you have to let go of the known. You have to let go of the shore if you're going to discover new lands out there in space or wherever you want to travel. Let go of what you are attached to, your belief system. Like, if you don't mind telling me, what do you believe about the world?
It is. I mean, I was saying for a long time that I was very agnostic, but wanting to believe.
What does it mean, agnostic? What does that actually
mean? I know. What does it mean? Well, I suppose it was... I definitely came from a period where I rebelled. There was a high school phase where I said, there's no way God exists. And I was reading all the books, Dawkins, Sam Harris, Dennett, all these guys where I revered them. And then I kind of went a different direction because I went, well, wait a minute. There are people on the other side that are writing intellectual defenses of why God exists. So if people can fight back against these new atheists, I'm going to entertain their arguments because that means I'm open-minded to the idea of being convinced rationally, which, as you said, experience is really the truth teller here. But still, something about me, I suppose what it is, Alan, is I very much enjoy the intellectual exercise.
Nothing wrong with intellect? Of what? Sorry.
Of being convinced that magic or the spiritual is real. Like, that to me intrigued me.
Well, first of all, I'm not saying you went off on the wrong track, but God has to be defined. When people say God exists, this is not some Judeo-Christian God that sits up in the sky on top of a cloud with a long beard making judgments on people. That's our Western idea of God. That is very, very primitive. If you talk to the indigenous people, they have a much more expanded idea of the divine, which might be in everything, which is life itself, which is the earth, which is like these bodies, which is God needs to be expanded within the Western paradigm to include what are people calling spiritual. Spiritual means that there's an essence of us that's beyond the body.
Did you have a bar mitzvah, by the way?
I certainly did.
So, okay. So we both come from that framework.
And you know, it's like, what is going on here? It was a great excuse for my mother to buy a new dress and to have a party.
Right.
Because it's really for her and my parent, my mother and father. It's like, I did not get the spiritual education in Hebrew school that I thought maybe I could have later on, but it's like, and plus Judaism, this is just my belief, but what you go to, you go to an Orthodox and even conservative temple, you're reading commentary from the Middle Ages. So you're really not accessing the true spirituality, at least in the temples I've been to, the true spirituality of Judaism. You're accessing a kind of very narrow point of view on Judaism that is now preached in these, in the modern day Jewish religion. But then you have Jewish Renewal and these Rabbi Kalbach, who wanted to upgrade Judaism into a real living essence of its true tradition. And I'm more aligned with that, although I don't think we need religion anymore. I think religion is a belief system. It's telling you, okay, believe me because this is what someone else told me. And belief systems are make-believe. You can make yourself believe anything you want, but this is not about belief. This is about knowing. This is about knowing, is there a real essence of infinitude within us, within you, Greg? Is there a sense of a immortal presence that you have existed, whatever, not the personality, but the essence of you exists beyond time and space? That's spirituality.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was going to say, to bridge off of that, it feels right what you're saying, which tells me it's cluing into this cosmic message that I'm destined to really meet, or have I met it already? I'm not sure.
You are it already. You've not only met it, you become it. It's become you.
Oh my gosh. It is you.
Get rid of the old concepts of God, this thing, this Judeo-Christian, Muslim, Hindu, all these old religions have separated us from divinity, which is the essence of this being. It is giving thought to your very consciousness there. It is closer than your breath, Greg.
Oh, wow. This is resonating with me. I mean, I was going to say the other thing on top of this is there was the rampant skepticism that comes with it, because there's a lot of this in magic, conjuring. There's a lot of people, specifically, I mean, I'm sure you've encountered people that have gone, hey, Alan, get that person with James Randi. He's doing $1 million challenge. I mean, I worshipped Randi. I've got the books. I used to worship Randi. All these guys, debunkers. I really thought that was the way, and the fact that they said, well, you could just explain away all this stuff, made me believe that it's all just trickery, science. I think it was in my early 20s that I started going, okay, there's enough literature on magic and psychic phenomenon and people out there. There's something here that isn't just, that's been going on centuries and centuries. And I'm intrigued. And then once I discovered hypnosis, of course, I went, okay, this is all kinds of weird. This is an unexplained thing. I don't know how spiritual it is, but it's unexplainable. And then ever since, diving into it and seeing how it connects to other of these esoteric belief systems, I've been going, I want to believe. I think there is something here. It would be a shame if it was just scientific materialism. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm much more of a believer now. Essentially, I mean, like I said, reading your book makes me go, whoa. I said this at the Disclosure Conference. It would be harder to explain away the thousands and thousands and thousands of indigo children. And it would be so hard. You could not. I'd give $1 million to the person that could go through this book and just go psychosis. Clearly it was an airplane. They couldn't do it. There's too many testimonials of contact at this point for me to go, this is just bunk. So that's where I'm at.
I think it's psychosis when people disbelieve reality. It's like, you know, there's a great story by John Mack. You know who John Mack was? He was a psychiatrist, the head of the Harvard psychiatry department, started to talk to people claiming to be abducted. He thought these people must be crazy, hallucinating, delusional, until he started talking to them. And they seemed perfectly normal. And they had this weird experience. And he said, either they're crazy, or maybe there's a bigger view of reality that I'm not including, that he, coming from a Western paradigm, was ignoring. And there's a great quote. Do you remember John Mack in my book?
Oh, yeah.
He really, I think, pulls a lot of it together, because he came from the Western paradigm, and he says, there's something wrong with our Western paradigm. There's something wrong with negating the essence of life itself. So I included John Mack in here, and he says, first of all, I'll just find this. As far as abductees, he says, no case has revealed that behind the reported experience is some kind of strange depression or child abuse or anything like that. So these people claiming abductions are not fabricating something due to some other trauma. He says, yeah. Who we are at the deepest and broadest sense of being, it seems to be reported by these witnesses, and my clinical assessment of their genuineness may only be a judgment based on my own reality, you know? So we have to, you know, I could say a lot of people are psychotic if I just base it on my experience, but if I listen to them, feel who they are, and tune into a possibility, I have to open my mind to a greater possibility of awareness and include, I don't believe everything people tell me. People tell me about a secret space program where they've gone off planet and there's breakaway civilization. I've seen no proof of that. I have had abduction. I do believe that these beings do not exist in this physical reality. I think they exist in like a fan. If you look at a blades on a fan, they start to disappear, even though they're still there when they go faster. Maybe these beings are just vibrating at a faster rate, but they're still physical in that sense. So I think I got away from your question. What was that you said?
I don't even remember. It was, you were asking me what my belief system was and where I'm at now.
Right. So,
and legitimizing someone like John Mack. And actually, I was going to say, I mean, for anybody out there, read that chapter from John Mack. I mean, it is unbelievable what this man has dedicated his life to. The pivot, and is everybody used that term pivot with COVID? They say, oh, we got a pivot. I mean, this guy did a pivot very early on when he realized there was legitimacy to all the claims.
Let's just say, you know, the U.S. has just come out, the Senate Intelligence Committee has just said there are 400 cases, which is really a very conservative estimate, that of things in the sky, UAPs, they're calling them now, instead of UFOs, you got that, I'll explain why. There's been 400 something cases that we can't explain. So we have an acknowledgement for all those disbelievers, all those Michael Shermers who I've debated a few times, he still doesn't get it. I'm just saying,
right.
And we just agree something's out there that we can't explain. And you listen to Luis Elizondo saying they're not US, they're not Chinese, they're not Russian, they're not some third world country or all of a sudden developing some high technology. There's something here from someplace else. We don't know where they're from, what they want, or who they are, but let's just start with square one. Something is here. Can we believe that? At least it's not even belief. There's proof of this. There's been, if you look at Cheryl Coster's desk reference for UFO sightings, there's been 100,000 reports of UFO sightings in the last 20 years. That's reports. Not all of them were real, but if 1% were real, that's, you know, 1,000 sightings, that's like something is in our skies. The Air Force has footage. The Navy has footage. The Senate Intelligence Committee has been briefed on crash retrievals. Some people at Roswell have come forward and say, yes, there were. So something's here. This is not belief. This is, let's throw belief out of the war.
Yes, yes.
Can we just confirm, you know, when 60 Minutes did a show about UAPs, Bill Whitaker, one of the lead reporters, asked Luis Elizondo, so are these things real? And Luis Elizondo just looks at him. You know who Luis Elizondo is, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just looks at Bill Whitaker and says, come on, Bill, we're already past that point now. The government has said these things are real. So let's all like start at a new level, okay? If something's real, if they're in our reality, let's try to understand it. Let's not guess at it. Oh, they're from Mars. They're from the Pleiades. I mean, that's just, let's look at it. Let's bring it out in the open. Let's get Senate intelligence committees or Congress or scientists or academics. And they've been doing this, but let's do it publicly to say, look, this is what we got. Let's examine it. Let's understand it. And let's expand our belief system. Let's expand our worldview to include this. But the problem is, it's what Timothy Leary used to say when people are doing LSD and then why they made it illegal. The government doesn't want you to think new thoughts. They want to contain everyone in the box of very small awareness. So bringing out the UFO evidence would upset a lot of people. And yeah, you know, government and science itself wants to just contain it all. But we're at the edge. We're on the fringe there, Greg. We have to push for UFO disclosure in order to break open human potential. I mean, we don't need the government, but if they can at least confirm this reality, we're on in a new ball game. Old ball game over, civilization just blasts into a new reality, and we start from where we've always supposed to be. Life is not a freak of nature, you know, it is an emergent property of the universe. You know, we don't live in an entropic universe. Entropy, everything's winding down. No, life shows everything is going towards more complexity, not going to less complexity. So we are in an open universe, an open multiverse where energies are pouring into this reality. I mean, I think that's what suns are. That's what black holes, white holes. There's portals between dimensions. So we're not living in a closed universe that's winding down. We're living in a very complex, some people say convoluted universe or multifaceted universe where everything is increasing towards a greater complexity. Look at complexity theories. Look at chaos theories.
Let me ask you something about Neil deGrasse for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Here's what I'm curious about. Do you think, because he does kind of speak, he has a different framework of reality that he's pushing on the public and perhaps himself, but he does speak in this cosmic way. And there's sometimes I'm watching him going, I feel like this guy is on the edge of being there. The way he sees the cosmos, the way he relates, I feel like maybe there you could twist things. He just needs one experience and all of a sudden he'd go all the way into being on Coast to Coast AM and do it all. What do you think is going on with that guy?
I think if he had the experience of that openness, he would deny it because it would throw out a lot of these beliefs that he has. A lot of science is based on belief. A lot of it's based on experimentation and provability, but what they're calling science based on belief is scientism, the belief in science, not the facts of science. So when they come along, when the science says, oh yeah, there's junk DNA, they're just saying, I don't know what this thing is. I'm just going to label it and call it junk and not make sense of it, you know? So that's what's going on with Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's building up belief systems based on a false sense of awareness. There's really something bigger going on here. So my favorite quote about Neil deGrasse Tyson is, what is that quote that he says in these master classes? Some people know enough about something to believe only a small part, but not enough about something to believe it's true. Oh, that's the quote. Some people know enough about things to believe it's not or something is true, but not enough to know that it's not true. Hmm. Well, this is what he's saying about, this is what I would say to him about UFOs. You know enough about it to think it's not true, but not a wide scope of knowledge to not even believe to know that it is true. If Neil deGrasse Tyson would just look at the evidence, look at the stuff that the Nimitz footage, and not say it's just some artifact on the screen, he'd have to eat crow. He'd have to, you know, he'd have to swallow his old belief systems. He'd have to, I think it's what Winston Churchill said, oftentimes I've had to eat my own words, but I find the diet very nourishing. So it's like,
right.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think, is probably a great guy, but full of beliefs and false beliefs that he is calling science. There is science out there, but if he understands what a black hole is, he's delusional. Nobody knows. We do not know what a black hole is. Some people say, oh yeah, it swallows things up and rips it apart. He writes a book, a 300-page book on black holes, like he's living next door to one.
Right.
But you know, that's been the problem with science. The guy who came up with the idea of continental drift, he was laughed out of his profession in 1648. I forgot the guy's name. He said, you know, the heart is a pump and it pumps blood throughout the body. He was ridiculed. He said, that is the most ridiculous thing in the world. So new ideas are often laughed at. They're called ridiculous. And so when science doesn't understand something, they give it a label. And like junk DNA or UFO, and people see a UFO, they think they know what they're seeing. They call it unidentified flying object. So they're identifying it as unidentified, thinking they know what that is. They're just saying it's unidentified. We have to stop qualifying experience with meaningless words. I'll give you another. Every time someone says they're amazing, that person's amazing, or that person's not, they're absolutely saying nothing. That's a little bit off the topic, but
right.
I think amazing should be outlawed in California, you know, because it is not a word that is usable. It does not. Oh, that person's amazing, and they say amazing. I'm not making fun of anyone, but it just does.
That's hilarious.
Tell us why that person's amazing. We have to expand our vocabulary, our way of, our, you know, not give things categorizations and think we understand. Like even looking at a tree, you think you know what that being is. No, don't look at a tree and call it a tree. Look at that being and be with it. You will get, like the Native Americans, when they would sing to the plants would tell them what they were used for. I think a good place for you to start is with the teachings of Carlos Castaneda. You ever read Carlos Castaneda?
I've read the first book.
Book, because he gets rid of all the references to peyote and all those power plants. And he says, you know, this was really a spiritual teaching. So start with Journey to Ixalan, because that was one thing that just really opened me up, you know?
Yeah. You talk about how drugs are not necessarily the thing to do.
I think they were in the 60s, coming out of the 50s. There was a window that opened people's minds that led to the rebel. But I think we're already beyond that place now, where we are already on a psychedelic experience. This reality is psychedelic. The multidimensional sensing, as the vibration of the earth starts to elevate, we can call it psychedelic experiences. We start to be more lucid in our dreams. Just start with your dreams. I have this book here I've been reading, Lucid Dreaming. If you want a psychedelic experience, wake up in your dreams and watch how everything changes into everything else, and be the awareness of the dreamer and not the dreamed, you know? So it's like, yes, when you could be lucid in those dream states, this 3D reality becomes more lucid, becomes more malleable. So I say, if you want to do that, that's great. I've done it. I've done ayahuasca. It was really fantastic. It's like, okay, done it, feel great, had great, whatever. But I don't need to do that again. I mean, I don't know. I just don't feel, I'm just talking for myself. And, you know, there's like ayahuasca circuits all over the country. But
yeah,
you really need to do medicine if you're not sick. I mean, you know.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Though I guess you could say collectively everybody's sick. The closed-mindedness is the sickness. How do we open people? But at the same time, I think I have talked to people, and I've even talked to people more in the corporate space. And they're going, yeah, no, the fact that Netflix has put out a series about UFO projects that I've watched a few episodes of, Showtime did it, you have your book out, government keeps saying things, there's a 60 Minutes interview, there is an overwhelm of this conversation that I think is causing people not just, and in a way, I think there is a little bit of a sadness about it to me, which is the existential, like, oh, this is what it takes. You have to be flooded by mainstream media establishments like a Netflix to look at this conversation. You couldn't just have that innate curiosity.
No, because we've been brainwashed. That's
right. Right.
Even me, because I'm totally into this, you know, wrote the book there. I'm still thinking when the government says there's UFOs and people see something, even this sounds like a science fiction movie. I still, and that's like my knee-jerk reaction. This is just like a science. This can't be real. This
it's amazing. You've been doing this for over 25 years and you're still in that. You still have that place come up.
I still have that conditioning. Like when I studied acupuncture, it's like I would do a treatment on somebody and they would feel better, or someone would have their menstrual cycle because, and it's like, wow, this really works. It's like, wow. So it's like, there's this part of my skepticism that's in the back seat, but it's saying like even when I've seen a UFO, I've seen like maybe four or five or six different places around the country. I've seen lights in the sky. It's like, was that light just appearing and then it just went out, or circled down like this and then circled back up silently? Could that really be something from another world? I mean, it has to be a government drone, that's the conditioning. And some people have it more than others. It's taken me a long time to get through that conditioning, because since birth, we are taught what reality is and what it's not. And when reality isn't what you've been told, it is a threat to the identity that we call self. That's Neil deGrasse Tyson's problem. He's identified himself with his scientific beliefs, not the science, but the beliefs in science, and he's identified it with himself. It's like, you can't make fun of someone's baseball team, because that is what they are. Their identity is their baseball team, or their political party, or their, you know, presidential candidate. If you put them down, their beliefs or their science or their baseball team, you're insulting who they are, you know, because people identify with their beliefs as self. And that's a big part of the human ego problem. That is not who you are, your favorite baseball team. And I will insult it.
You know? Well, you just kind of opened me up to the idea of maybe that's the service that at least I see a niche. I see a niche in the space for not necessarily. I suppose that maybe that's partly what you're doing. That's partly what I'm doing. I've never been able to put it this way, but opening up people to being more than just they are. Not necessarily, because life coaches kind of take you to this. You know you're supposed to, there's a thing you're destined to do. You have a clear vision of it, and I'm going to clear out the limiting beliefs to get you there. Definitely studied a lot of that in hypnosis and can work with people to do that. But this idea of, you know, what if it was cool to know that your identity and your reality were much more slippery? And then what could you do then? It's hard to put like a tangible monetary value on that, but it is, wow, what kind of an experience could you have if Neil deGrasse took a course and then sat there at the end and went, okay, well, what if I did embrace, what if I looked a little one 100% in this other direction. What could my life be there? What could my brain and my genius apply in this space? It's almost a shame that he isn't reading this book. Maybe he is. I don't know.
He's not. He's not reading the book because he is so convinced of who he is and what he believes that he can't even acknowledge the raider on the Nimitz as a possibility. He has to say, right. Oh, it's some artifact on the radar. It can't be real, because if he just lets that little thing crack open, there spills out his whole sense of identity, which is a false sense, and self, and what he's called his scientific mind. It all collapses. It's a house of cards that the UFO thing brings down, and it collapses into a pile where I don't know if he could pick up the pieces, because he's built a long career on saying what is true and what's not true. So I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying he's put himself out as a target because he refuses. That's delusional to look at the evidence of what reality is. The government saying, look, there's these things. The Air Force is saying, the Navy is saying this. Hundreds of thousands of people. Are all those people delusional? Carl Sagan would say yes, who right. is Neil deGrasse. He says two things are certain. People make up things, and there probably isn't anything out there. I mean, he didn't quite say that, but that was Neil deGrasse as mentor, and, you know, his whole show, what was that, Cosmos, was a tribute. So Carl Sagan, although he did write the movie Contact, he never came around to officially acknowledging what now hundreds of thousands of people have seen around the world in every single country, and it's increasing. The sightings in the US are increasing. In China, I just talked to a Chinese ufologist who said more and more people are having experiences, and it's not safe to be a ufologist in China.
Right.
But it's happening. It's happening in France and Italy and in Britain. It's one of the largest. Australia, I mean, South America, the natives, indigenous people of South America, that's just part of their acknowledgement that there are star people here.
Out of curiosity,
yes,
in daily conversation, and I'm curious just about, maybe I'll just ask you for myself, but as somebody that was doing this for 25 years, when you were meeting people and they were like, oh, Alan, what do you do? And once you really started getting into this space, were you bringing this up? Would people know in seconds that you were going to talk about UFOs and aliens?
You know why? Because I never cared what they thought, you know. I thought, you know, maybe I'll talk about it enough. And so occasionally people would say, you know what? I have this very strange experience that I can't explain. And maybe I can tell you because I can't tell anyone else. That's the gold I'm looking for, I'm mining for there.
Yes.
It's like, so I don't care what they think of me. Shirley MacLaine used to say, what other people think of me is none of my business. Well, I'm a little more sensitive than that. I do care what people think of me, but I'm just telling people what I believe is true. It might not be true for them, but, you know, Columbus thought he was meeting the Indians of India. There were Native Americans here who didn't see the ships. I mean, there's always intersecting levels of reality that are proving to be delusional to what we know now. So we keep upgrading the psyche about what's possible. You know, Joe Dispenza's work, do you know his work?
Oh, yeah.
And people can regrow their teeth. He's saying the mind is the chemical producer. It can create anything you want, any healing you want in your body if you put your attention into it. So we're just discovering what human beings are capable of, because we've been dumbed down to think we're just a sack of meat and potatoes or whatever your diet is, you know, but we are liquid crystal that's housing an infinite consciousness that's manifesting a reality through these sensory experiences in order to give the soul a conscious awareness of 3D creation. That's who we are.
This is so good. Look, I know.
But we can keep talking a while because I'm enjoying this.
Okay.
I know. Yeah, I want not wake you up, but I want to plant
a seed
in that fertile ground there, because I think it's not like you want to believe. It's like there's that, you know, the part of me that says, well, really, is that a UFO up there? I think we all have that, and we have to just overcome those voices of doubt and say, well, I had an experience, and I will never doubt that I had an experience of something. I'm still trying to figure out what that experience was, but it was definitely a non-ordinary reality without drugs that I encountered there and had a mark on my leg. And
yeah, for people that don't know, I mean, look, I don't want to give away spoilers here, but do you have like a summarized version of what you uncovered in your regression?
Yeah. No, I'll give it away. Well, I was hesitant for like 30 years of being regressed because I didn't know what I'd find there. And I figured, well, you know, the mind blocks out trauma for some reason because, you know, it doesn't fit in with this reality. That's what's traumatic. You know, when you're sitting in the World Trade Center and suddenly a plane comes through the window, besides the harm and awfulness of that, just the trauma of seeing that, I mean, it's like, just stays with you because there's no way to fit something so horrific in our reality. Or, you know, look at the people who lived through concentration camps, that the horror of those awful experiences that were so outside human decency. And this is not quite that bad, of course. This is just like, how could beings that no one told me ever existed come into my reality, freeze me in time? This is what I think happened to me. I don't know. But it's like time had stopped in this world, but not stopped in the world they were in. So they took me and my girlfriend. They made, I write in the book, a time mold. And I don't even know what that means. They took me out of this time space, brought me into their world, which is sort of physical because it left a mark on my leg, kind of. And they, when in my regression I saw them, they looked like, all I could see was like the big heads. They had no mouth or nose, just big eyes. That's, but they weren't bad. They were sort of, I wouldn't say they were friendly, but there was a connection. I, in the regression, I felt like, oh, this isn't scary, they're different. But I realized there was actually nothing to be afraid of. You know, there was just the trauma of this not being a reality that I'm used to. That's, if we can get beyond that, and that's why I wrote Preparing for the New Realities of Extraterrestrial Existence. If you read this book and start to open up your mind to the possibilities that these things could be real, when you have an experience, there'll be less doubt, there'll be less of the old program, there'll be more of an acceptance of, oh, okay, that's what's out there. Yeah, we're not alone in the universe, we're part of a greater reality. Humanity is not quarantined forever on this little beautiful blue planet, but we're part of an extended family of creation, of intelligence, of probably been seeded by these other extraterrestrial beings. We're probably actually in one interview I did with this woman, she met these beings. She was more conscious than I was. And she said, and these beings said, we're not another species, we're another race. You know, so they're not different than, I thought that was like, oh my God, that.
Yeah.
It's like they're part of us. They have a similar genetics. And so I don't know the truth about all that, but if the government would come out with the bodies, with the crash retrievals, with everything they know, it would shake up a lot of people. But that's what we need if we're going to move into a future that's not based on lies. Because if the government says we're all alone, or we don't know what's up there, or maybe we're being visited, if they're denying us truth, we are enslaved to a false narrative. We're being told lies. And no one likes to be lied to. So maybe it's a corporate sponsored cover up. I mean, obviously, who's ever coming here is not filling up their gas tank to get here.
Right? Yeah, but what about the idea? I mean, now you're making me think about something. Why hasn't there ever been a UFO that just, I mean, maybe the government gets there too quick, but I imagine that a UFO could crash into, I don't know, somebody's home in the suburbs and there might be a body there and someone might just hold on to it. I mean, what? In stories like that, why do you think the government's always involved?
Because they want to keep the truth to themselves. I mean, look at the Phoenix Lights. That was a whole city in 1997. 100,000 people saw this triangular craft over the city. The governor, who actually saw the things, comes out and makes a joke and brings up. And so there's a drive within those in control to maintain the status quo, saying, no, don't look at the man behind the curtain. Look over here, the great and powerful Oz. You know, it's like, yes, believe the lie we're telling you. Terence McKenna used to say that about religion, you know, he says, and science, and comparing religion to science. Science says, give us one miracle, we'll give you all the rest. Give us the Big Bang. We don't know how it started. That's the miracle. But everything else after that can be explained, you know. Religion says, no, give us a lot of little miracles and we'll explain that way.
Right.
But you know, the world basically is a mystery. It's inexplicable, and we are part of the mystery. If you can just go with that, Greg, whatever is driving you to ask questions, it's the mystery looking for itself.
Oh, crap. Yeah. Okay.
No, you are the mystery. You've been just so indoctrinated into a conditioned belief system that we're all fighting to get out of and discover. Yeah. What's real, what is this belief system has disconnected us from ourselves, each other, and the planet. So the reason I call it making contact is to make contact with each other, the planet, the cosmos. Disclosure is an inside job. It's up to us to change our brainwashed belief systems and consider new possibilities of the unknown. We are at the edge of the unknown. You know where the unknown is, Greg?
Where? I don't know.
Right in front of you. Right in front. Your next breath, in your next sentence.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
In the next moment. The unknown, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's to be excited about.
You're right. That was kind of mind-blowing. Yeah. That, you're right. That's everybody that says that goes, yeah, well, I've never seen evidence of a UFO. A second later, a being could blink into their existence and go ahead. But because they are holding on to this idea, this story, they're very much closing off the path here. It's pretty remarkable. I do feel much closer to the infinite.
Well, you are the infinite. You are the infinite. I mean, you may not have to believe that, but just trust it. You know, I didn't believe it either. And I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying I like that as opposed to the belief that we're not the infinite. So we have a choice. Belief is make believe. You can make believe anything. Someone made you believe that you're not infinite. That was a choice, and you bought that. And so I'm asking you, make believe that you are the, just make believe. Make believe.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's make believe something is possible. Let's make believe it's not. It's all make believe until it's knowledge, until it's wisdom. Otherwise, it's the world of make believe.
Yeah. In a way, people could walk away from your book. Mm-hmm. And perhaps, I mean, what if that's what they did? What if everybody said, okay, you know what? We're going to pretend that we're telepathically communicating with these entities. Right. Do you feel like they're more likely to make contact with that experience? even compared to forcing it or seeking it and being really kind of skeptical, making sure. I mean, what is the mindset if people really want to experience contact but are having trouble getting there? How would you guide them?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking that too. Making contact, just drop into kind of a sense of being. Make contact with yourself first. Like drop in to who you just, you know, the best time I have all day is when I'm laying down at night. I've done whatever I've done throughout the day, and I'm just feeling peace. You know, I'm just feeling present. And then I watch myself fall asleep and watch my mind create these hallucinations.
Yes.
And then I'm watching, but I'm just at peace watching it all. And that's like a sacred moment for me. So you can believe something's out there, or you can believe something's not out there. Which one feels better? Which one do you choose to believe? It's a choice. Well, and if you've been programmed enough, you have to do a lot of work to overcome one of those belief systems. But if you have a choice, and say, maybe the universe is full of intelligence, and that intelligence is actually not here to take over the world, but to help us wake up to who we really are. That's what I believe. I'm not saying it's true. I believe that. Then maybe the universe is a lot more friendly. Look at this amazing planet we're living on. Look, the temperature is pretty much between Fahrenheit, you know, 30 and 90. You know, that's pretty livable. It could be far more extreme, and occasionally it is, but the oceans are beautiful until they've started to be destroyed. The water is fresh, the sunlight is. This is an amazing miracle that we are part of, and maybe the universe is for us, pro-noia, and maybe we're part of creation, and maybe we created this paradise in order to experience the infinite mind within a limited form, and maybe who we really are is the infinite mind of being in this human body, but just pretending to be these avatars. And when we step out of this little Zoom box, there's so much more. If you thought all you were with that was that Zoom box, that would be kind of limited.
But yeah,
all you are is that body. That's that same level of limitation. When you think all you are is your personality, it's another level. If you think you're maybe the great infinite mind, well, now you're starting to make sense.
You know? Yeah. You know, okay, look, this is really amazing stuff. Let me, before we kind of wrap up, there's been something on my head
sure.
I just have to ask about that I've been wondering. This idea, I want to confront this belief that sometimes I even wonder if it's a limiting belief, that if they were to land on the White House lawn, if they were to reveal their presence, you hear it from multiple sources. I mean, you hear it from people in your book who say, okay, yeah, no, they're not just going to show up because it's going to disrupt things. But then you also hear, you know, that might be what the government is thinking. If they showed up, it would destroy society. Everybody would freak out, all this stuff. It would disrupt things. Do you actually think that's the case?
No.
Okay.
I mean, there's been a poll, just getting back to some other previous point, at least one third of the American population has seen a UFO or knows someone who's seen a UFO. I don't think they are landing on the White House lawn, because what they're doing, according to my belief, is they're coming and going. People see it. What did I see? What was that? And there it is. And it's in the newspaper. So slow accumulation of awareness. And so when they do show up, it's like, oh, of course, well, they're here all along. You talk to anyone under 18, ask them if it's already part of their belief system. They've already seen enough movies and cartoons and television shows. It's integrated into their reality. It's like Schopenhauer says, truth passes through three stages. You know Schopenhauer, Arthur Schopenhauer, the German?
I've heard the name before. Yeah.
He says, truth is first denied, then it's ridiculed, and the third phase is as accepted as self-evident. We're coming out of the ridicule phase into the self-evident phase. UFOs will be self-evident that we're not alone in the universe. Life is not an anomaly of creation. We're part of a greater cosmos, and we are really infinite beings. That, to me, is a belief system, but maybe it'll become self-evident at some point.
Yeah. You know? Well, Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm saying it starts with you looking at those limited beliefs and saying, maybe that's not true, or maybe whatever. Maybe landing on the White House lawn might be the very thing that will wake us up. I don't think that will happen because there were opportunities to do this, and they did fly over the Capitol in 1951. I think a slow indoctrination of a presence, and not to take over the planet, because there's lots of beautiful Earth planet, but to show that there's something more to the human being. That's really the subtext of the book. It's less about aliens, UFOs. It's more about what is our potential as human beings.
You have bridged the gap so well. I mean, it's been a pleasure to go through this book. It reads so eloquently. Your commentary is great. All the writers too. I mean, you just want to keep going and going.
Thank you. It's new for a lot of people. It's a primer.
I'm mirrored right now. That's my screen. Maybe. But yes.
No, go ahead. Hold it up.
Here we go. Check this out. I unmirrored myself. Yeah. Check this out.
Right. Go to Amazon, Making Contact, Alan Steinfeld. It's a real, for people who think you're crazy for even listening to this conversation, give them this book because it's a primer.
That's what I love about it.
If you're already into it, it's like, wow, there might be some gems there by Linda Moulton Howe or Whitley Strieber, who writes a chapter in there, or Grant Cameron or John Mack or J.J. Hurtak, who, and Desiree Hurtak.
Those two I am fascinated by. Yeah, love them.
Well, they're good friends of mine, and we've traveled the world lecturing. There's a lot of interviews with them on my YouTube channel. I'll give a plug for my YouTube.
Yeah, we'll link to that as well. You can see in the comments, everybody, is also in the show notes. We're going to link to the YouTube channel and the book because, yes, I highly recommend it.
I enjoyed this. I really value your questions and your intelligence and just being vulnerable to ask the questions and, you know, why not? Why not lay it all out there and just tell people who you are and what you believe?
Yes, I am so, thank you for guiding me in this. Seriously, you are a missing piece for me in this, and it really helps contextualize a lot of this stuff. So I'm grateful for your work, Alan. I'm grateful for Making Contact by Alan Steinfeld, as well as New Realities. Everyone check it out. And I'm so grateful that you came on the show. Thank you again. Really, this has been awesome.
Wow, great. Yeah, I have lots of interviews with lots of people in the UFO world. That's youtube.com/newrealities. People in the book who've written chapters, and lots of people, intelligence people who've defected and say, yes, guess what? The government does have these crafts. So yeah, I try to cover all the bases. It's not just UFOs, because this conversation was about a spiritual awakening that
we're
all looking for, really.
You know what? Before we go, what do you think right now for let's tease people a little bit. If there is one thing, you know, some people say go to the CIA website and look this document up and look at what they've been looking at. Some people say, like, look at this paper. Look at this. If there is one smoking gun government official document right now that really for you solidified that, we really need to be taking this seriously.
Okay.
What was it?
It was the FBI website called The Vault, Echo FBI, The Vault. There's a document from March 22nd, 1950. It's called the Guy Hutel Memo, H-O-T-T-E-L, who was an FBI agent who reported three crash saucers in New Mexico with three alien bodies, three small little bodies in them, three bodies in each saucer. So there were nine bodies altogether. And he's saying that he's describing what they're wearing and describing the craft. And that is the most looked at page on the FBI website. And the reason I found out about it, because the FBI was complaining to the news, why is that the we've caught these dangerous criminals, we busted big crime.
Right.
And no one's looking at that. They're looking at this little UFO page. I say, yeah, because that's more interesting. Look at the Guy Hudl memo. Just put that in the search engine or FBI, Guy Hudl memo, FBI UFO. That is the page. That's my go-to page to tell people this is real.
I love it.
Look at the Senate Intelligence Committee report from June 25th to 2021, this year, about a month ago, where they're saying, yeah, there's something inexplicable in our skies. We don't know what it is, but we're going to investigate. You know, we need to catch up with the history and lay it all out on the table and start to get real about what really went on here so we can move into a really positive future with an open mind and new technologies that I think could save the world. You know, they're not here to clean up our mess, but if we had the technologies of free energy, we would have the abundance to clean up our oceans, the abundant energy to clean up the land, to have free energy, not stop polluting the world through fossil fuels. This is also why the corporate media, America wants to not get this information out. Forget the aliens. It's their technology they're holding back. They could care less about aliens.
Do you think it's here? Do you think obviously there's Bob Lazar, very famous.
I think it's here, and it's been suppressed, and it's maybe be rolled out at some point. But yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Okay, let's do another conversation.
I love it. This is good. Okay. Hey, no, let's definitely follow up about this, Alan. There's some good stuff to open minds here. Read the book, Making Contact, Alan Steinfeld of New Realities. Thank you so much for coming on again. This has been awesome.
Thanks.
Really honored.
And I enjoyed it too. Thanks for your great question.
Thank you. Alan Steinfeld, New Realities. Check out that book, Making Contact. I promise if you're looking to get into the UFO ET thing, absolutely worth it. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my executive producer. My executive producer is accepting gratuity in Bitcoin. Crypto made it off-world too? Maybe there is something to this. All right, everybody. Take care.